I am not a public speaker, so the ams, the ams and the uhs and stuff, just bear with me. I have lots of notes, so if I get lost or off track, again, just bear with me. I will reference we a lot today. There was supposed to be a we next to me for a period of this. We'll talk about her at the end. But just real quick, Miss Sylvia is in the women's directory. She's the actual head of Pure Desire for the women's side of it. Her number is here. She was going to pop up here at one point. She is a full-time caregiver to her mother who has Alzheimer's, and they had a really bad incident last night. So she is not here. So if I reference we, you might be like, who's in your pocket? Right there. All my girls right here with me. Thank you for selecting the breakout session. When I saw that we were only having one, I got very nervous that I'd be talking to myself or maybe just a good couple of friends that were here to support me today. So thank you for being here. I know you only had one choice, so it does mean a lot that you chose this. I have a tissue. I cry at the drop of a hat, who knows why, all the time. So if I burst out, just be like, she's all right. My name is Crystal Glimka. My family and I have been coming to Foothills for about 7 years. We fell in love with this church for the children. We absolutely believe in training a child in the way that they should go, Proverbs 22:6, and we just love the way that they treated the children for San Diego County, and then found out it extended to the rest of the world as well. It wasn't just the kids here. So that's why we came. I have personally been involved in the Pure Desire Ministry for about 4 years now. I am not a counselor, not a professional speaker. I am not a therapist. I am just somebody that wants to be here to help people in their journey of healing. The hope of today, and we did have a couple of individuals come up and ask and be like, what are you talking about? Like, oh, that doesn't affect me. No, maybe it does and maybe it doesn't, but maybe it might affect somebody in your life later on. And the idea today is not that we're all going to sit here and judge and go, ooh, who has the problem? Whose family is out of control? It's getting a conversation started that needs to be started before you basically show up on a doorstep and go, I'm lost. I don't know what to do. Fix it. And God love a church that will stand up and do that. Yes. That they will stand in where nobody else will. So, forgive me. People that know me, go, oh, she's crazy.
We love you.
But that's why we're here today, is just to start a conversation. We're not saying that everybody in this room has a sexual addiction or problem with pornography. We're saying that it's out there and people need to know. And they need to address it. Just like when you send your kids out to school and you say, don't talk to Jimmy. When you talk to Jimmy, you come home and you're mean to your sister. You send your kid out with a set of keys and you go, don't drink and drive. It's bad. Don't. You will get hurt. Call me if you need me. You do those things there. Why wouldn't you do it here? Because what are we looking at? We're looking at a community that is just inundated with seductive images, scantily clad bodies wherever you go. You walk into your favorite store. What is the picture? When you walk into the mall, you see the woman with the best body ever wearing the tiniest bit of lingerie, and you're looking at your son or daughter, and you're going, don't look there. It is all over. It's part of our society, PG-13 movies and up. TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, your favorite Netflix shows, YouTube, mom and dad's favorite actor or actress with the hot bod. When a six-year-old knows who mom's favorite actor is because he's half-dressed on the screen, what does it say in the Bible? It leads with the eyes first. They're innocent. I'm not saying that leads to pornography. I'm not saying that's a sexual addiction. I'm saying that's where things start, and you don't even see it coming half of the time. And prior to COVID, it was in the hallways of our high schools. You ever drop a kid off at school and go, whoa, whose mom let you out today? It's frightening, and it's not because we're judging. It's because I'm scared. I have a God that's bigger than all of it, and I know that. But it doesn't mean that we go into situations and we're not intelligent, that we're not well prepared. So in my house, my husband likes to joke. He's prior military, so we have PME time. Anybody that's military or a spouse of a military knows it's called period of military instruction. So with COVID, my husband thought it was great to ensure that his kids knows kind of where we come from and our quality and our heritage. So everything has been about the 80s in my house. My kids can sing 80s songs. My husband's, every line that comes out of his mouth that's funny is from a movie. It's not his, he'll admit it. So we've been going through periods of PME in our house during COVID. And as fun as it has been, it's also been an eye-opener for me in preparation for this. I am about 9 years younger than my husband, which I like to remind him all the time. Ever watch 16 Candles with your kids? Yeah, that was a regular one when I was in maybe middle school. I be watching it now for times of PME, and I'm frightened. Weird Science, how about Coming to America? Because the new Coming to America 2 is coming out. So my husband thought that'd be a fun one. And there was a whole portion where I went, oh, my, don't remember that. And it's somebody's mentioned to me, it's not new. It's been around. We read about it in the Bible. You know, prophets would go and there'd be temple prostitutes. You know, it's not new. It's, like I said, it's just that we're more advanced these days. We have more at our fingertips. And these films and images are not subtle sometimes. We try to monitor things the best we can. But what is your teen listening to? In some aspects, we don't know, and we try to monitor, like I said, you can leave them in a bubble. But they're listening to songs, and they have the availability, I should say, to listen to songs that fully lay out a sexual act. And what comes with that? The imagery in their head. It's clear what's happening. Sometimes it's suggestive, sometimes it's not. But a lot of times, there's a lot of great detail that's happening, and those things become full movies in your head. And they're so much so that there are times like it accidentally comes onto a song or something, you like get a notepad out, like, I didn't know you could do that. Like, what? It's just a lot to deal with. We understand that. But again, it's just taking the time to have a conversation and know that there are things out there to support. And these little things can happen without us knowing. And they easily can be swept up into a second look, a third look at something. It's holding those images in our mind and letting a fantasy run out as we're living our days. It's taking the next step and looking at Playboy, searching something out online, or heading over to the local bookstore and picking up a very graphic novel, a Japanese novel, manga, different things like that. And I'm not saying that they're all bad, but I'm saying we have to be aware. It's a slippery slope, and the fantasies can turn to porn, and these things slide into our lives without notice. In little and subtle ways, they start to take hold, and you might be thinking, I picked the wrong breakout session. I'm not ready for all of this. It can be overwhelming, but it doesn't have to be, as long as we start talking openly and honestly about it. You see, sex, lies, lust, it sells. And we're buying it up as a country. And Christian, non-believer, it doesn't matter. As long as pornography hooks, that's all they care about. So you might be thinking sexual addiction. That's not me. It's not my spouse. It's not my teen. Maybe they looked at something. Maybe I caught them once or twice. But let's all agree, there's a definition for addiction, and that's just what I'm going off of. I'm using pornography as an industry and sexual addiction. So what is it defined as? By Webster's, addiction is a compulsive and chronic need for a habit-forming activity or a behavior having a harmful philosophical, physical, or social effect and has well-defined symptoms. Okay? We are not debating who is addicted and who isn't. But just for the ease of speaking, we're just speaking of pornography as an industry and sexual addiction as the repercussion of it in varying degrees. So given that, there are many, many people affected. Some that speak out, some that sit in silence and just worry and wonder, who's going to find out? Who can I talk to? Will they judge me? The answer, unfortunately, a lot of times is yes. So let's be the people that others can come to with confidentiality. Be open enough to have the conversation, but be the ones that can be confidential in the sharing of those stories, those hurts, those pains. Focus on the Family had a wonderful article online, and they described the destruction of pornography. It can be anything that is read or seen or designed to cause sexual arousal. It includes media, magazines, books, media, and the internet. Pornography promises the thrill and sexual satisfaction, and it never will deliver on these promises, thus allowing the person to get deeper and deeper, always looking for some sort of fulfillment. King Solomon said, "Can a man scoop fire on his lap without his clothes being burned?" And that's Proverbs 6:27. Along these lines, you cannot repeatedly bring sexual arousal, the images or the compulsion, into your head without there being some sort of physical aspect of the repercussions. Psychologists urge us to understand that the images are literally burned into your mind. Anytime that there is a major arousal or even a good or a bad experience, it has chemical reactions in your body. Proven, read a book called Switch on Your Brain. We use it a lot in this as a foundational aspect of this ministry. It is a tough read. It's really good, but like it's a tough read. Switch on Your Brain. Dr. Carolyn Leaf, I believe, is her name. She is an actual brain psychologist. So like I said, it's a tough read, but it's really good. It is proven that these releases of hormones and endorphins cause the brain to chemically burn these pictures into your memory. So that means that if you relive the picture, your mind does not know the difference between it happening now or it happening in the past. Your mind just knows it's happening. So you physically burn these pathways into your brain. God is wonderful, God is good, and he mentions in the Bible many times that you can heal your own mind, that our mind is very, very powerful. All these effects are heightened with combinations of pictures and masturbation. And that pornography affects real relationships too. You may think that it's okay to experiment, that if you catch it once or twice, that it's not a problem, but it's feeding into the lies. And many wives complain if they have had this happen in their marriages, that they cannot compete with the hundreds of anonymous people that now share the bed because they share it's in their husband's mind. One lady said, "I cannot compete with the hundred of anonymous women that are there in our bed. I do not know if he is thinking about me or them. Our bed has become so overcrowded with the countless faces that the time that was once intimate now has become a horror." Sometimes pornography can even lead to things that you never imagine. Let's consider Gene. Gene is an ordinary businessman with a wife and a daughter, but the fascination of pornography has become the fuel that has caused normal life to explode. "It began to run his marriage, his business, and everything," explains Gene. "I started at striptease clubs and topless bars, then moved on to massage parlors and prostitutes. Finally, I started fantasizing what it would be like to actually rape a woman. I never considered that it would happen, but one night I saw a woman who fit this scenario. Fortunately, I did not go through with it. The incident was reported. I was arrested, and I did spend time in jail." Seems extreme. I get it. Seems extreme. That's not me. I like to talk about my life from childhood up. I think could be a sitcom sometimes when I go back and think of all the ways that God intervened, because it is a hot mess. And there are times where I let people know I'm like a Jerry Springer show episode. Like, you would hear my story and be like, at least I'm not as bad as you. That's okay. That's all right. That's sometimes what we're here for. And you may look at that story and go, that's too far off. It's just the reality that the little things slip in and they take hold. Just like if you wouldn't let your child jump on the couch, it's going to wreck the couch. You maybe do it once or twice, but the more you let them kind of do it and you just don't really say anything, it becomes a problem until grandma comes over and they jump on grandma's head and you're like, oh my gosh, your child's out of control. So keep in mind, I understand, varying degrees. The Bible says sin is sin, though. Who do we decide? You picked up a lipstick in the grocery store. Your sin is not as bad as mine, because my sin involves pornography or a prostitute. Sin is sin. Let's just address it. Let's not try to level it. Well, at least that's not me. Okay, but it could be somebody, and it could be you. You don't look for these things when you are out there. We don't want to give you this information so that you feel coming out of this like you have to go home and be a sheriff. That's not what we're wanting. Any woman that's ever gone through a situation with pornography coming into their life, or maybe sexual addiction or an affair with the spouse, either them or the other person, doesn't go, oh, I saw it coming, I just decided it wasn't worth fighting for. What do you hear? I never knew. I never saw it coming. I would have never guessed. He's the nicest guy. They have the happiest marriage. They're the best people. We don't go into marriage or relationships looking for these things to happen. We become scared, timid. It's not what we're looking for. We're just looking to say, be aware. It's out there. The enemy is coming after us here, coming after our children and our marriages, and we have to just be aware. That's all. So yes, Gary, our Jean's scenario, I'm not saying it's everybody's scenario. I'm just saying one thing leads to another. And if we're vigilant, they won't get to those points. So taking that into account, we know that God has created us for desire, for love and intimacy, and that is to be satisfied within the relationship of one man and one woman. One special person that you have chosen to spend your life with, and it breaks God's heart when women and men bypass these relationships in pursuit of mere images, lifeless reproductions of what they consider to be perfection that cannot be satisfied. It cannot be attained. And it starts small. It starts when we're young sometimes without even knowing. And it's unfortunately, we have to have these conversations, because if we don't have these conversations with our children, the schools will. And I'm not advocating one way or the other. It's just how it is. Or society will in some way, or social media will. So Brad, at the age of 8, had not really heard about the birds and the bees. There was no way for me to know that the pictures and the things I was seeing were wrong. However, I knew that viewing the pictures came with an urge, and I knew that seeing them somehow made me feel dirty, but it was exciting. I remembered my pulse quickened, the adrenaline rushed in my body, and even at the tender age of 8, I hadn't felt anything like this before. They were foreign feelings, and for many years I was believing that I was the only one that struggles with this. It is a common belief as we grow up that these secret habits of viewing pornography make us feel very alone, but in reality, hundreds of thousands of young men and women have an uncontrollable fascination. In fact, teenage men, 12 to 17, are the largest core group of consumers of hardcore pornography. 12 to 17. That's not very old. Men, they're considering them men at that age. And consumers, buying. Money, time, it's being bought. So if they stumble upon magazines hidden in the trash, if they stumble upon websites that had been previously open, they're thumbing through, or getting the experience from other people within their groups. Little kids have access to every computer, telephone, smartphone, iPad. They're on the playgrounds, and it used to be they just giggled. They said the word booby. Ah! Now they just go look it up. Well, what does that mean? And they, unfortunately, sometimes get a little too much reality. Because pornography is available at the click of a mouse, at the touch of a remote, it can be purchased, well, prior to COVID, in a cinema or on a local shop on the corner. And after COVID, you could get it in a strip club before you could get in church, which is a sad, sad state of events. But the acceleration of the problem has come because of the ease and of the access to it. The determination and the curiosity of these young men on the web has become an altogether common occurrence in our community. But one of the worst side effects of pornography is that it divides people. It breaks the viewer into different categories in their mind and in their personalities. Men who view pornography develop a compartmentalized attitude, where they are able to hang out with their friends, go to church, spend time with family, and in a whole nother compartment indulge in dark and sometimes even dangerous fantasies or activities. It's not only a division. Pornography causes men to separate in a physical way because the images of the women do not match the women that they come in contact in their day-to-day. It separates their hearts, their minds, and their souls because the physical images dominate much more of their characteristics of personality. Worst of all, pornography separates people from God. Men and women who indulge in pornography often feel that they must hide from their Heavenly Father, just as Adam and Eve hide and stop taking walks in the garden because of shame and guilt. So, what is Pure Desire? Why are we here? Pure Desire is an international ministry that deals with the issues of pornography and sexual addiction. Foothills has selected this ministry because of the outline based on professional development. The programs are structured for healing and the unity of the marriage. They will deal with individual men, individual women, and the marriage as a whole unit. The materials are developed by professional therapists, counselors, and pastors, and they all are based with biblical views held at the highest standard. Foothills has the Pure Desire Ministry currently in place and trying to grow for men, women, and teens. Right now, it's just teens. The males, we are working on the females. Getting the word out is the most important thing, but we are working currently with men who struggle with the addiction, women who struggle with the addiction, and the spouses of those partners who are struggling. The issue must be addressed on both sides, from the addicted to the betrayed person, for there to be full healing and restoration. We understand also, as a sidebar, sometimes that's not possible. We support the unit, whatever way it decides to flow, that is up to the individual. We do not push one way or the other, but the heart of the ministry is for full restoration. Foothills has embarked on this journey to cast light on the addiction, on the issue of sexual addiction. So again, let me stress, we are not here to condemn anyone. We are not here to point fingers or judge. We are here just to open up that people are struggling with different forms of pornography, different forms of sexual addiction, and as a church, we have to make it a place where they can come and find help, because people do not want to continue walking in the shame and the guilt. They need help. They just don't know how to ask. It's time that we just shed light on the darkness and offer a hand of love and support. So what if there's been a discovery of pornography in your home, a friend's home, in someone's home? It's a realization that they need help, but it's terrifying to ask. Most of us don't know how to make that call. Would you want to be on the other end of that phone? To have to pick it up and call someone you don't know and say, look what I get to deal with. They get anybody that is dealing with it, from the side of the addict to the spouse, they get wrapped up in the situation. Thoughts start to cloud our minds. What did I do wrong? What will other people think? What will they say of my husband or my wife? The natural instinct is to withdraw. We're disgraced. We don't even want to turn to God for help in situations like that. They feel, I should have known better. I should have seen it coming. I should have known that there was a struggle. Maybe I shouldn't have watched that. I shouldn't have done that. We gave into a show. We looked at a video. We went somewhere we weren't supposed to be. But finding out that it's happened to a spouse, to a child, that they searched images or videos on the internet, then it turns to thinking of, what if he would have just tried harder? What if he would have just prayed more? If he would have just worked harder at it? These are all self-efforts. And they might cause the images and the activity to pass for a few moments, for days, maybe a couple of weeks. But the temptation is there. We've already learned it's burned into our brain. And it might be held at bay for a short time, but the individuals will usually run out of enough capacity to keep it at bay long enough. So they withdraw. It gets deeper. They jump from job to job, from relationship to relationship, from city to city. But the end result is they cannot outrun themselves. They have to hide the addiction until it becomes uncontrollable. They shove it down, and it feels like the right path at that time to keep it under wraps. But all we're doing is we're digging the hole deeper, and the enemy is convincing us that we're alone and that we're the only ones and that we're unlovable. It's a cycle of destruction, and it's a cycle that we enter or re-enter over and over again without help. So, Pure Desire and Foothills believe that God can and will heal those that need the assistance, that it takes a call out. If we look at Judges 6:1 real quick, it's the story of Gideon, which you may or don't see how that applies. But it applied to me in presenting this today, just because the people of Israel were at a place where they were crying out to God. And the angel of the Lord came to Gideon. And upon the arrival, the angel speaks, "God is with you, O mighty warrior." Gideon responds to the arrival, which I thought was fantastic. "Me? Why? Why me, my master? And if God is with us, why is this happening to us? Where are all the miracles and wonders of our parents and our grandparents? Didn't God deliver us from Egypt?" That's kind of a feeling that anybody in this scenario has had. Why me? Did anyone ever feel this way? You've given your life to Christ. You are married in the church. You do all the right things. So how can this be happening to me? But God does not call us to move. God calls us to move, but then he puts a map of healing in front of us. It is our responsibility to pick up the map and move forward. So Gideon was called a mighty warrior before he had ever taken a step. God saw the end result. But Gideon had to pick up and go. He had to make that choice. So let's look back at the text. God says to Gideon, "I'll be with you. I believe in you. You'll defeat Midian as one man." The victory is called out ever before Gideon moves, and he must then believe. He can test God, and God is faithful. And moving is hard. This text relates back to the people of Israel, that in this scenario, they've been called to their promised land. The man you've always wanted to marry, maybe. The child you've always wanted to have. But the people of Israel are broken. They are stripped bare and reduced to starvation in their promised land. And we can feel that way if we have either encountered sexual addiction or it's a part of our life now. We can feel that our relationship, our marriage was supposed to be one way, and now we have been betrayed with pornography. So now what? What do we do now? We have all the hurt, we have the shame, and we have the guilt. Sometimes it's self-inflicted, sometimes it was inflicted on us by others. We're all wrapped up in our own feelings because we're in survival mode. And the hardest part is to make a call to help. And we can make that call sometimes to our best friends, our mother. Maybe we share it with a coworker. The problem is, if these people haven't had any history, they will give advice, but it might be detrimental to the person. To whereas if we're just informed, we possibly can give life-saving advice, life-saving maybe for the person, for a marriage, for the longevity of a family. Pornography and sexual addiction wears in our mind because of choices that we have made or maybe others that have made for us, but it can be retrained. It can be just like a path in the woods. An existing path is there, and you can carve a new path, and it's going to be difficult to get that path formed, but it can happen. And this information is not intended to scare you. It's just intended to open up a discussion, again, not wanting you to become sheriffs in your home, but just be warned. Just be armed. Be aware. Set the boundaries. Know that the enemy is out there, but that we have won the war in the end. We are considering Pure Desire to be just another battalion in the army. And if you feel like you're losing the war or the battle, we're here. We're here to support you. The ministry is full of amazing women and men. I just know about the women mostly, that have given of their time to be leaders, co-leaders, one-on-one peer support. If you're not ready for a group, many people have decided to give of their time to walk this path to make sure that you know there's help, but to understand what help is available for maybe others around you. If you can pull out your packets really quick. PureDesire.com, or PureDesire.org, pardon me, on the front of the packet. This is all from their website. Oh, yes, I'm sorry. So this is, it just has the link to the information for Pure Desire themselves. It is an absolute wonderful ministry. The website has tons of information, podcasts, all of it is free. If you choose to go through one of the groups with Pure Desire, some of them do have a cost associated. Your church does not, which is super fantastic. It explains on the first page, it explains some of their resources. And then on the back of that first page right there, it has different groups listed. There is a call to action for men that are struggling with addiction. And we have that resource available here in this church. We have the second one, which is for women that have been betrayed, so the spouses of the struggling men. We do have that resource available in this church. The next one is men who have been betrayed. We do not have that one. And the fourth one down is for women struggling with addiction. As of this year, we have that one available in this church. And the last one, which breaks my heart, is the student. We have that one available for the boys, the teen boys, in this church, which is pretty awesome. If you don't know it, just know it's pretty awesome that these resources are available, and again, at no charge. If that is not something you can deal with, please understand we want to get the word out. We want there to be communication. We want there to be open connection in this. Pure Desire in this, as far as I know, from my experience in this church, is the highest responsibility we have is confidentiality. So we may want to get the word out, and we want to have this discussion, and we want to bring this into light, which is a very difficult discussion to have. Like I said, you know, coming to a group or telling my friend, I want to go to that one. People are like, why? We hold, the minute you make that phone call or you refer somebody, we hold confidentiality at the highest. And I don't mean to be rude, but if anybody joins a group and we're sharing some pretty terrible things that maybe you don't share with your mom or your best friend or whoever, and you go out and tell somebody, we will kick you out. Because it is that important that when these people come and they are broken and they are hurting, sorry, that they know that when they step into that room, they are safe. Pardon me. And that is so big, especially when we're talking about our teenagers. It just kills me that it is such a problem with our teens, but it has to be addressed, I know. So the second one, I just cried, pardon me. And I wish I could say I was like menopausal or something, but I'm not. I wish I could. The next one is a two-page packet, and it is a family internet use plan. If you don't think the internet will kill your... No, I'm just kidding. It is just a document to again, if you don't know, that's your fault. If you know and you don't do, that's your responsibility now. We highly suggest in the Pure Desire Ministries, Covenant Eyes is a fantastic program. That monitors the internet, the computers. It will work on laptops, tablets, desktops, telephones. Their newest aspect of their program is that they have AI that monitors screen. So you would say, why does this matter? Oh, let's have some fun with that. Your child loves, what is it? I don't even know, Fortnite and... What's the other blocky one? Come on.
Roblox.
The Minecraft. Thank you. God, I wish. I'm sorry. I can just picture him. I'm sorry. Your child loves these things. They get time on YouTube because they've finished all their homework. They're 7, 8, 9, whatever they are. And they're watching their Minecraft videos. And all of a sudden they get the panel on the side and they can pick other videos related to. Did you know Minecraft has pornography?
Yeah.
Yes, they do. Their little Minecraft babies can get into some pretty particular situations. Huh? What's that? And they click on the next one. It is to be aware. Sometimes the images will be okay. And there is an audio feed that is a full-on pornographic movie that is happening. And you don't know because your baby's got the earphones on and you just see the image in front of it. They didn't mean to get there. They just clicked and clicked and clicked and clicked and clicked. Now, Covenant Eyes can't do anything about the audio. But anytime any of those images come up that are even slightly suggestive, it is an amazing technology that they've come out with. The AI picks up on those images, takes a screenshot, and sends it over to the accountability partner, which is awesome. Because before, they would just pick up searches, websites, different things like that, and something could just pop up that the child or the person, the addict, was looking for, and it wouldn't actually be there. They didn't actually have to search, and you would never know. But their technology over the last 6 months has now brought up AI to actually take screenshots. So, sorry, it happens. Junior, your little junior, your little miss, sexting. Yes, it's a big thing. Those images, even that they come through a text message, will be recognized by the software now. So, again, it's just another level to try to protect those that have a problem or to keep somebody from having a problem, which is pretty cool. So Covenant Eyes is absolutely a wonderful tool to use. I know Disney has something on their different things.
So is Covenant Eyes just an accountability thing, or does it like block?
It blocks too.
It blocks.
So it can block. You can put in words. So if anybody texts a certain, you know, group of words that you put in, not or singular words, you know, like we have it in our home. I don't care if you know that. We do. And because I have a son, and unfortunately we have had an incident where a little miss in his dance class and he started chatting and whoa, there was a sex message and she was right there and I went, ah! So yeah, you can put in words. So if they're communicating in a language that is not appropriate, it will pick up the words and send an alert. You can have different website criteria. You can specifically choose websites if you've had an incident where there's been some sort of discovery. So you can actually specifically pick websites that it will block. But the biggest factor to me at this point is now it monitors the screen. So whether it's text message, internet, email, it's a screen that's being monitored as well. Yes. No.
I don't even know what words that I would need to be picked up on.
That's okay. My best friend loves the crime TV network, and I don't like watching that kind of stuff because I'm very visual, so it kind of sticks with me. But she'll tell me about things, and I'm like, ah, I would have never thought of that. Like, I just don't even go there. What we just did is we just picked words that were common. We used foul language. Body parts, specific body parts, names, you know, the atomically correct and the slang ones. Unfortunately, my husband works in a school. He works in an all-boys school. And so I hear lots of stories. So some of it just goes off of stupidity of teenage boys that he works with, too. But unfortunately, yeah, it's just your mind doesn't want to go there. But you can pick, like I said, specific words, specific websites, or there's just categories of things. Like, I don't want them going to these types of places, which is kind of difficult when they're online or remote learning and stuff like that, I understand. But my son lives on Google Classroom in his world, so I totally get that it's kind of a pain in the butt, but it's what we do. The last one just is an HPL exercise, and that's just talking about emotional levels, which I just thought was really good just for women because obviously I'm overly emotional anyway. So if you guys could do me a favor real quick and somewhere on that packet, grab a pen. Everybody get a pen. Show me your pen. Show me your pen. Okay, so somewhere on that packet, everybody's going to write down 619. Everybody gets to do it. Everybody. So 619-890-9268. This phone number is Miss Sylvia Payan's number. Miss Sylvia heads up the Pure Desire Women's Ministry. Everybody's going to write this number down, because if you need it, great. If somebody else needs it, great. If you don't need it, you're going to write it down so the person next to you doesn't feel uncomfortable writing it down. 619-890-9268. Her name is Sylvia, Sylvia Payan. And she's, again, her name and number is in the women's brochure as well. She's right here under Betrayed and Beyond. But I just want everybody to write it down now so that we can all do it together. P-A-Y-A-N. P-A-Y-A-N. I probably not saying it correctly, but I try my very, very best. If you have questions, if you need help, if you need direction, you may call her, you may text her. She will text you back when she can. She can get you in touch with whoever you need to be in touch with, whether it's for you or for someone else, for your teen, for someone else's teen, for a teen in your group, maybe in your youth venture shift. She will help you out or direct you where we need to go. Yes, miss.
I have a question. I have a 17 years old. I have gone through the history, whatever, because it's always in the back of our mind, like, what are you doing? Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, like I said, I'm not a therapist, I'm not a professional counselor, but in reality, just knowing what we know, especially with men have a very special way of doing things where they can compartmentalize things, and it's more than once we've heard, how did he do this? It doesn't make any sense. He was a good guy, this and that. So there really, I'm sure there are ways of knowing that might give telltale signs. The other problem is you can check Google history, and I know it's pretty much time to go, but there are things that I kind of put in, kind of the last thing is hack your teen. Almost every website, Google search or any Bing or anything, they have what are called incognito sites. So you might be searching the site, but I'm telling you, your kids are smart. And like I said, there's times where I go, I wouldn't have thought of that. You can do an incognito website. They will not show up on anything except for if you have some sort of software like the Covenant Eyes and things like that. That's what they're supposed to do. So if they're searching for something and they don't want you to see it, your kids are smart. And if they're not smart, their best friend's smart. And if they're not smart, somebody else that they know is smart. Incognito will keep all of that. It will not show up on any search history. Once incognito is clocked out, it's gone. Instagram allows your user to have a real account and a ghost account. You might see your child's Instagram account. Doesn't mean that that's their only account. They have in their settings, they have a ghost account app as well. And you will never see that if they don't want you to. I did not know that. TikTok has a timer. You can get around the timer by restarting the app over and over again. So you might put a timer on a lot of these things. Your kids have figured out how to hack it. And you might put different settings for language. By reopening it, resets the settings a lot of the times as well. Instagram can send messages, photo messages, without your approval. Text messages and photo messages. Pornography is available on Instagram and Pinterest. Did you know that? That's frightening. And then, like we talked about, YouTube has a lot of different things that the audio has now been switched now that different things are coming up with the screens that there's audio available, but the screen looks just like a regular show. So all I'm saying is just be aware. Just be aware of what is happening and have those conversations as uncomfortable as they may be, especially with your kids. Because if you're open and honest, if something's happening, the hope is they're going to come to you and talk to you about it. So I know you guys have to go. Thank you for being here. I'm sorry for keeping you over.